So I was out and about walking, doing things last night, and I had a few conversations with a few local Taiwanese. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to say which one specifically. I was like, where? Well, okay, why not? So one of them was at this pizza shop. It's this American-owned Americans. Actually, run by a guy from Michigan. And it's good. I mean, it's pizza by the slice. It's great, thin sports bar pizza. And they say sell it for like, I don't know. It's probably like about $1.50 a slice. And they've got A&W root beer, and they got Dr. Pepper. You can't find that in Taiwan. Anyhow, like when I went surfing this weekend, I was with some friends and a lot of new friends. And one of the things that they said was, you know, well, this lady brought these extremely very, very hot, spicy Cheetos from Singapore. They had extra cheese and they were extra spicy. She said, you can't get them in Taiwan because the flavor is too strong and Taiwanese don't like cheese. Anyhow, so I was there. I was eating pizza, and there was this young man, and he was with some young woman who was playing on her cell phone. He was sitting there looking around, and she was sitting there playing on her cell phone. I mean, they looked like a great couple, except for the fact that she was playing on her cell phone, which people complain about. But like, I don't know if I was with any woman, whether it was a first date or whether I'd been married to her 50 years and it was dinner time and she was playing with her cell phone, I might just get up and walk away. And that might be the end of the relationship. Like, I just, that doesn't work with me. So I was talking to this, he'd gone up for a smoke and he was standing next to my motorcycle and I was leaving and finishing my Dr. Pepper. So I went over and asked him if he had an extra cigarette. So we sat and talked and he asked me how I liked Taiwan. And I don't know, this guy's probably 20. I'm totally guessing. He could be 25. Asians age slowly. It's really, really hard to tell. And he asked what I thought of Taiwan. And I said, Taiwan's great. I love the people, but the government has problems. And he asked me, he said, the laws are too complicated. And I said, no. I mean, foods are complex. And I said, no. The laws are not too complicated. The laws make normal life illegal. It's the prohibition of nearly everything in Taiwan because the laws were written by Chiang Kai-shek's Nationalist Party, today known as the KMT, Kuomintang. But in American history books, it's the Nationalists. And they just... they would unilaterally come in and just declare a bunch of new laws. And the banks and the companies and the people in the homes did not have time or the money to readjust their lives to comply with, to obey these laws that were written and implemented this morning. And even if they did start to change things around, then by the time they got their lives and their businesses compliant with this immediately implemented law, then the law would change again. So the whole thing, the whole process of law would just become absurd. And that was years and years and years without any government of the people. Well, later on, they finally got their own democracy. They started moving towards that direction. Chiang Kai-shek's son, for a while there, was running things, sort of. And these new people went in this new young democracy. But the lawmakers did the same thing. They'd get elected. They thought that they were emperors and so forth. And they would just make these new laws constantly and change. And none of it, there was no understanding that the people should be able to obey the law because they had grown up under Chiang Kai-shek. And then later on, they've got these new lawmakers in there trying to pass laws. They don't get the concept of the law being obeyed, and they don't understand the problem of changing the law so quickly, because for them, the law was never something that they would have to obey. And that's what happens when you grow up under prohibition. In America, the term prohibition usually refers to alcohol. But, you know, prohibition could be anything. I mean, I live in a country where the normal English market is a black market. And so my employer was a local mafia company, and I didn't know that until the end, and I saw what they were trying to pull. In fact, them attacking me as much as they did, because this is the thing with Jesse. You're just so sure you're going to fix him. You're so sure with Jesse that someone's going to be the first person in history to make Jesse think about something. And so people try to fix me, and it don't work. The reason that I do things the way I do isn't because I don't know as much as those other people. It's because I know more than those other people. But their solution is to try to teach mom and dad. Their solution is to try to teach and fix and attack Jesse. So they kept doing this, and the government inspectors, who can't ever find any criminals, you know, inspectors run around trying to find some little petty problem to harass people with. Even in America, they do that. That's how inspectors work. Well, the inspectors, the hungry, starving inspectors, are watching this company do this to me and go insane. And they're like, my goodness, you're going to be a gold mine of all kinds of rules violations. So they went in and harassed that company, stalked them, followed them, and closed down three of their schools. Not because they were is any part of mafia crackdown, but just because they're like, my goodness, these guys are idiots. They just break rules all the time. So anyhow, that was a thing that was something that happened. But that was part of the overall, this overarching culture where everything is illegal. So I was talking to this guy. He's like, well, give me an example. I said, well, my motorcycle, which was right in front of us, I said, it's illegal for me to park here. I said in Chinese. He said, And he's like, And of course his scooter is right next to mine, just as much illegally parked. And I explained in Mandarin, the city government says you can't park here, but they don't say where you can park. And he's like, yep. I said, normal life is illegal. I said, that's not okay. I said, in America, if they did that in America, so many normal things illegal, they'd burn down City Hall. It's unimaginable in America. It is. We complain about police. And I think I told him that police have too much power in America. They're too high profile. They walk around like bad donkeys. They just think they're the shiz. And that, I mean, the attitude, excuse me, sir, may I please, I mean, just this attitude that I'm just the man, that attitude demonstrated in America should get a police officer fired. They should conduct themselves with the public using a medical doctor's bedside manner. Police should be legally required to talk to people in the public, not like the police is the big thug who's going to be here to be the enforcer, but like doctors. That's what police do in Taiwan. They are humble. They are public servants. They should be quiet. If someone's bad, cuff him, shoot him, you know, whatever, you know, chase him, all according to procedure. You don't just shoot anybody, but follow. Go ahead. Use force. Beat him. If it's legal and correct, if that's the correct thing to do, unusual, but if it is, go ahead and do that stuff, but don't talk like you're the great enforcer. You need to talk to people with humility and kindness and make them glad that they saw you. And that doesn't happen all the time. It happens a lot. Many police officers are very good, but there's this attitude that they get. So that was America's problem with government. But that's about it. That's about as bad as it gets. You get police shootings and there's a whole bunch of literature on that. But in Taiwan, it's unimaginable how much. I mean, the police conduct themselves very well, but nearly everything is illegal and people just sort of learn to live with it, and there's no respect for the law. There's no respect for rules at, say, school. There's just – there's no respect. Even in a company, they've just got 10,000 rules a minute that roll out. They've got – they'll, like, plaster these large notices all over companies, all over apartment building complexes. They just – new laws, rules everywhere. And there's no understanding that people have a limited capacity to adapt to new laws and to obey whatever number of laws. In America, it slowly creeps in. Like, there's a lot of things that are illegal. You might not know it. But in Taiwan, it's unimaginable. We are so spoiled in America to have laws that we can obey for the most part. And the part that we can't obey kind of doesn't matter, and the police probably wouldn't enforce it in America. Like, you don't know this. The court might say, you're kidding me, that's still a law. No, we're not enforcing that. Boom. Like, that doesn't happen much, but that can happen, and it happens at times at all levels of court in the United States. But in Taiwan, it's unimaginable. You get into these other countries. You go to Vietnam. I mean, Cambodia's. Oh, my goodness. I remember seeing orphans from Cambodia come over and ask for money in Vietnam, the rich country, compared to Cambodia. And you get into these other countries, normal life is illegal. Just try. It's unimaginable, but just try. Try. Wherever you're driving, wherever you're listening to this, wherever you're sitting, half of what you're doing is illegal, and the police will never enforce it. Imagine that reality. That's not your reality, but just imagine that. That's what's going on in Taiwan, and that's one of the things that I speak about, that I talk about when I'm with people and with friends.